Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4. Proverbs 14, 4, here the scripture says, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox." Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Imagine this scenario with me. Transport yourself and your mind back to Bible times. So we're talking before Facebook, before Twitter, before computers, before electricity, and before tractors. Imagine with me a farmer. We'll call him Bildad. Day after day, Bildad goes out to his barn, and day after day, he finds that the oxen have made a mess in the barn. He sees the trough. The oxen don't eat with polite table manners. They get the straw all over the place. And the problem is, they don't just make a mess of the trough. They make a mess of the rest of the barn, too. Day after day, Bildad has to clean the barn because of the oxen. And day after day, he gets increasingly tired of having to clean up the mess after the oxen. By the way, I know that cattle can cause big messes. I've told you before about a job that I had where for an entire week, me and a friend of mine cleaned a barn where a farmer, or a man who had wanted to be a farmer, had left the barn unattended and left certain things to accumulate. And it took a lot of time and a lot of effort, and there were some clothes that after that week I used for no other purpose than for work clothes, because they had been marred, shall we say it, by the activity in the barn. So day after day, Bildad cleans the barn. Day after day, his clothes get messy. Day after day, he gets more and more tired of the mess the oxen causes. So Bildad just says, he decides, "I'm tired of having to deal with this mess. I'm going to sell the oxen, and I'm going to buy myself some new clothes that don't smell." So that's what he does. He goes out, he sells the oxen, and buys some new clothes that don't smell. Now for the first few days, Bildad walks around in his new clothes, enjoying the lack of smell with these new clothes. He just walks into the barn, and he's overjoyed that he does not have to clean the trough or anything else in the barn. Nothing to be cleaned in the barn. He stands and admires the clean floors and the clean trough. But after a few days, Bildad starts to think, "I still have to work the fields. I can't hook up the goat to the plow, and I can't hook up the dog to the plow, and I better not hook up the kids to the plow. I might get in trouble. What am I going to do?" Bildad has gotten rid of the oxen because of the mess they caused, but in the end, he loses out an awful lot more. No way to work his fields. No way to produce a crop. No income from the crop. In short, Bildad ought to have considered not only the difficulty and the mess that the oxen cause, but the strength and productivity that the oxen brought into his life. So why does God give us this proverb? Is this only for people back years ago who were farmers and had oxen? No. One of the key evidences that this is not just for farmers that lived back in the day is because Solomon gives these proverbs to his son, who is going to be king, who will more than likely never, ever have to work a field with oxen. Why does God give us this proverb? God has more in mind in giving us this proverb than wanting us to think twice before we get rid of oxen. Here's a principle as one person has stated it. Productivity comes at a price. Or, Another preacher has said it this way. There's no milk without manure. In your life, there are people, there are things, and there are circumstances that cause mess. And there are times when perhaps you look at the mess and the difficulty of life that these people are causing or these circumstances are causing, and you say to yourself, I wish I could be rid of them. Think about this with me, if you would, in the life of the church. When I was growing up, there was a secretary that was working for the church, and then she left the church. And there was a man named Mr. Bull, who was just excellent with money. He was supposed to be retired, but in his retirement, he began to manage a retirement community, and he wasn't content to have that be the only thing he was doing in his retirement. He started a company, and he bought coach buses and did tours all over Ontario, taking people all over the place. He was an individual that was excellent with money. And so he volunteered his time to come and work at the church as the business manager at the church, both acting in a secretarial position, but also working with the finances of the church. Now, one thing about Mr. Bull is that I think that probably in my lifetime I saw the man smile two times. He was known as, shall we say, an austere man. In fact, there was a saying around the church that you better not goof around while you're near him, or Mr. Bull would bellow. Some people looked at Mr. Bull and said, this guy is such a grump, I wish he wasn't around. And yet, what he brought to the church really helped the church in its finances at a time when it really needed help and clear thinking in the way forward. I'll tell you about another woman in the church growing up. She wasn't actually officially a member of the church, but each time the church had a meal, there was a woman that would come. She was actually related to members of the church, and she would do the meal. And the church I grew up in, you never had to guess what was going to be on the menu for every meal that the church had. It was going to be roast beef, potatoes, gravy, corn, and green beans. That was it, every time. That was the rut, every single meal. And every time, she would come in and she would do the meal. And she was excellent at cooking the meal, excellent at preparing it. She did not, however, have the best people skills. And almost every time that we hosted a meal, someone knew they were going to get yelled at. Someone knew that they were going to get chewed out for something that they did or didn't do. Nonetheless, she brought an awful lot to the church with doing these meals. She did them for free. In many churches, there are people whose manner causes problems from time to time. There are people who, maybe by virtue of their stubbornness, may bring about mess in the church. There are people whose personalities may clash, and then you have mess. Sometimes people say things that offend people and don't realize it, or say things that offend people and may not care as much as they ought to, and there's mess in the church. Sometimes people don't always get why people are offended by what they've done or not done, and there's mess in the church. Sometimes, in some churches, there are people, you see them coming, and you groan inwardly. Oh dear, they're going to start talking about their kids again. I don't know if I want to deal with that mess. Oh no, they're going to start telling me about their job again. I don't know if I want to deal with that mess. And there's a mess that happens in the church. Sometimes the mess is caused by sinfulness. Sometimes the mess is caused by personality. Sometimes the mess is caused by tradition. Sometimes the mess is caused by cultures that don't always understand each other, where they're coming from. But there's mess. It happens in the church. And sometimes our tendency is to say, things would be an awful lot cleaner if this person wasn't here. Things would be an awful lot cleaner if that person wasn't here. Things would be so much smoother if... But add another component to this. These people that I just described as sometimes causing a mess are also deeply committed to the church. They're very involved. They are, if you will, oxen in the church. They get into the traces and they work and grind and get things done. And sometimes the tendency to say, hey, I wish this person or I wish this situation wasn't even here, blinds us to the fact of what you would lose if you lost that person. Okay, it might be less messy, but the strength and the productivity of those people would also be lost. A passage like this reminds us to see people as more than messmakers. It reminds us to look at people as valuable workers for the good of the church. Now, I hope you understand that when I talk about this, this is not an open license for people to be rude with one another. Where no oxen are, the crib are clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox, so I work hard so I can be a jerk. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the point I'm making. But there are messes that come into our lives where no oxen are. The trough is clean. But how much strength is lost if you were to lose that person? Think about this verse and think about it beyond the walls of the church. There's a sense, I think, in which it's good for us to remember that even when people and circumstances are not specifically working for good, in the sense that, you know, you look at the church and there are people who might cause a mess in the church, but their intention and their heart is to work and grind for the good of the church. There are circumstances and there are people in your life that may not be specifically and intentionally working for your good, but God, in His providence, is using those people for your good. So even, here's my point. There are people in your life that may not be intending to be oxen, but God is using them that way anyways. We all remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Those all things include messy relationships. Those all things include people that in your life seem to be causing all kinds of mess, yet God, in His providence, is working in such a way that it is ultimately for your good. In the mess of your job situation, in the mess of your family situation, in the mess of your financial situation, and really any other situation you can think of, God is teaching you and God is strengthening you through that. And so these people, if you will, are unintentional oxen. They may not be intending to work for good, yet God in His grace is moving through them to help you to work for your good. All of this ultimately is true because of Christ. I think there's a sense in which the world understands a secular version of this kind of truth. That difficult people and difficult circumstances in life, the mess of life, can make you stronger. I mean, you have people like someone, Christina Aguilera, singing Fierce, talking about how all these things make her that much stronger. And there's a sense in which the world understands a secular version of this. But there's no ultimate hope in it. For the child of God, it is Christ that makes sense of all of this. Because in Christ, God is calling out the people for himself in the church. Think about that first scenario we talked about. Oxen in the church. In the church, God is calling out a people for himself. And this includes ox people. In the ages to come, God's wisdom will be shown in who he has saved and how he has worked through the variety of people that he has saved in the context of the local church. You look at the church from the outside. Okay? And even look at those of us that are here tonight. There are people here tonight from different ethnic backgrounds. There are people here of different ages. There are people here with different interests once you get outside the walls of this church. People looking at us from the outside in would look at us as a collection of people and say, you guys getting together doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You don't really have all that much in common. But what we do have in common is Christ. God is taking this motley crew of us, this assorted group of us, and working in and through us in such a way that his glory will shine through it for eternity. See, where do you get that from? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. If you have a chance, a minute here, just turn there with me because I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Now listen to this. This is amazing, okay? The manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known by the church. So the church is displaying God's wisdom. Who's it displaying God's wisdom to? Look at what it says. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In other words, the church is showing angels God's wisdom. That's something to make us pause for a minute. But read on with me. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right now, God's wisdom is shining forth. And one day there will be a fullness of the revelation of this, that principalities, angels, will look at the church and say, wow, God is wise. Now, you might say, you might look around you and you might see ox people. And you might say, I wouldn't have done it this way. If I were putting the church together, I would have had us all look the same. I would have had us all like the same kind of food. I would have never had anybody have a difference of opinion. I would have had us all like Toronto sports teams. Nobody in the church liking Ottawa sports teams. Nobody in the church liking Calgary sports teams. If I were God, that's the way I would have done it. But you aren't God, and I'm not God. And one day you'll be very glad for that. Psalm 18, verse 30 is a verse that I think you know at least in part. As for God, his way is perfect. That doesn't mean, by the way, notice that it says, as for God, his way is perfect. It doesn't say, as for God, his people are perfect. That's going to happen one day, but it's not yet. As for God, his way is perfect. Only God can take imperfect people and work through them so that in the end, the whole universe will see that God's way is perfect. In Christ, we are assured that even the most messy of life's circumstances are working for our good. I read this passage this morning But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18, Paul says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So in the church, God is working to bring us together with our differences of culture, with our differences of opinion, with our differences of taste. He's bringing us together that in the end his wisdom is shown. And in your life, in your individual life outside the walls of this church, God is even using messy people and messy situations in your life in such a way that you are being made stronger and better. So, I want you to think about that the next time there's a difference of opinion. Once you think about that, the next time things get messy. Things have gotten messy in your life. Things are going to get messy in your life again. But I want to remind you that where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox.